Here's what's coming up in the Category 5.TV newsroom. The Department of National Defense is joining the fight against 5G, citing risks to GPS and military operations. Google is serious about ensuring the Pixel line of Android phones is secure. They've announced that they'll pay security researchers up to $1.5 million to find hacks and exploits. The official site for the Monero digital coin was hacked to deliver currency-stealing malware to users who were downloading wallet software. And wouldn't it be nice if there was a Facebook rival? Well, there is. And it's founded by the guy who built Wikipedia. Stick around. The full details are coming up later in the show.
This is the Category 5.TV newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, joined this week by Jeff Weston.
Here's some quick honorable mentions this week. Tesla CEO Elon Musk suggested late Tuesday that his company had now received 250,000 pre-orders for the Cybertruck, its Blade Runner-inspired electric pickup. Tesla's unveil event for its first pickup truck was marred by the vehicle's window breaking when an executive threw a meatball at them in an effort to demonstrate...
Meatball?
Did it not say meatball?
No, it's definitely, definitely a steel ball.
Okay.
It would really be news if there was a meatball.
That's like a complete Ron Burgundy. I don't know why. It looked like meatball.
All right. Well, anyways, so ladies and gentlemen, there was apparently a meatball that went through the window of this truck, the Cybertruck.
I don't want to back up.
No, just keep going.
Keep going, I need it.
Wow. So
look at meatball.
After the meatball, Jeff?
After the meatball. It turns out the same test was performed before the event and went perfectly. The car's trapezoid shape was also mocked in various memes. Even the official social media pages for Lego had their go at the Cybertruck, but included innovative modular roof racks. Mr. Musk has said on Twitter that the reason Cybertruck is so planar is that it can't stamp ultra-hard 30 times steel because it breaks the stamping press. Despite the initial social media storm on people mocking the truck's design, others had praised the Cybertruck for bringing something new to the table. Wisecam owners will soon find an update removes the AI-driven person detection from their device due to the unexpected termination of the agreement Waze had with their AI provider in Waze's commitment.
Wise, sir.
Wise. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Meatball Waze.
Okay, for the feature for free. They're stating that their own AI division to bring back person direction and other AI improvements to the motion detection Wise is being praised by its users on social media for their transparency, though what is no doubt a difficult situation for their staff. The new firmware, which removes the AI features, is planned for mid-January 2020. There's no ETA yet as to when their new in-house solution will be ready.
Let's get into the top stories we're following this week. The Department of Defense is joining the fight against 5G, citing risks to GPS and military operations. The issue is with a proposal before the Federal Communications Commission to open the 1 to 2 gigahertz frequency range, the L-band, for use in 5G cellular networks. The problem is that some of those frequencies are already in use by the Global Positioning System and other military systems. In a letter to FCC, Chairman Ajit Pai, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, pressed for the rejection of the proposal, saying, quote, "There are too many unknowns and the risks are far too great to federal operations to allow the proposed system to proceed. This could have a significant negative impact on military operations, both in peacetime and war," end quote. While supporters of the proposal cite the low power of the transmitters and say this should not cause interference, studies performed in 2011 show that GPS signals arriving from space could be overpowered by even low-powered ground-based transmissions thanks to the inverse square law. A report from the National Space-Based Positioning, Navigation, and Timing Systems Engineering Forum noted that the tests demonstrated that there are significantly detrimental impacts to all GPS applications assessed, end quote.
Could it be that we're like approaching that time when there just aren't enough frequencies left? Like, do you think that we're almost there?
It sounds like we're there.
They're using frequencies that are already in use.
Are there more frequencies we can just tap into?
Let's jump into the 50 gigahertz band and see what it does to our brains. Like, that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be safe.
We've had Wi-Fi interviews covering in the past how they want to split up the way that they're doing Wi-Fi in the home. So it makes me wonder if there's a way to take some of these bands and kind of do the same deal. Because it was, I forget what the technology was called, but it was an innovative new approach that basically was kind of like, you know, adding more lanes to a highway when it comes to Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if something like that could add more bands without necessarily boosting to a higher power.
But you still need, in order to have more bands, if you will, using your term, you need more frequencies, right? So, but if they put things on, I think what the issue here is the misconception that terrestrial low-powered broadcast will not interfere with the big powerful satellites that have really powerful broadcasts.
But it will, thanks to the inverse square.
Exactly.
It's just like, what's that?
Well, do you remember, anybody who has ever done karaoke knows that if you take the left and right channel and invert one of them and overlap them, you get a mono signal and it takes the vocals out. Well, how does that happen? It happens because typically vocals are in the middle. So by inverting, you're phasing out the middle channel. So similarly, you're going to get like that kind of effect where two overlapping signals, you're going to cause interference that is going to actually phase out certain portions of that signal. And I think that's the concern that has been brought forward. But of course, those who are creating the low-powered terrestrial signals are saying, oh, no, these are just low-powered signals. It's not going to cause any problem. But meanwhile, yeah, there's a very real chance that it could.
So I wonder what the solution would be. I would think that the military should probably have a frequency that couldn't be...
Like the L-band?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is they've been using their own band, but the issue I think is that, I'm speculating because I'm not on the inner circle of the U.S. military, obviously, I can't even get a meatball right. But the thing is, the military has always been ahead of the curve when it comes to technology.
Yes,
and it makes me wonder if we've kind of hit this period in our world where technology is starting to advance faster than what the military can advance. And so the issue they're running into is that society's catching up.
Right.
And so is it possible that we're reaching a point, I mean, not even just about a signal, but that in general, the world has started to nip at the heels of military advancement because of so many companies and so many smart people out there doing crazy things under personal enterprise that the military is going, can we keep up?
Right.
And what does this mean for the future?
Yeah, got to stay ahead of that curve.
Globally. So
then they say, okay, no more 5G.
Yeah,
that's right.
Really?
We're going back to 233 computers.
Because that's the only thing they can do right now. It really would mess with their safety, right? Their security. Sure. And
well, I mean, look at, I'm going to say it was a couple of years ago, we had that whole GPS issue where people were using their Fitbit at secret military bases, and it was showing up on a map.
Yeah.
Because they're walking around. Like, technology has reached the point where we're going, ooh, what kind of other implications are we not paying attention to that just seems so benign, but really is a big concern? And this is one where the military may actually have a very legit concern going, this could be a national security risk if we have, you know, special signals that get intercepted by Joe Blow with his, you know, low frequency stuff at home.
It's very true. I don't know. I don't know how to properly answer the concern, to be honest.
I don't either. But it's an interesting story to follow for sure.
Mm-hmm. Google is serious about ensuring the Pixel line of Android phones is secure. They've announced that they'll pay security researchers up to $1.5 million to find hacks and exploits. The company said Thursday that effective immediately, they'll pay $1 million for a, quote, full chain remote code execution exploit with persistence, which compromises the Titan M secure element on Pixel devices, end quote. They'll also pay $500,000 for exploits that covertly steal data from a Pixel or bypass its lock screen. Google will offer a 50% bonus to any of its rewards if the exploit works on specific developer preview versions of Android. That means a critical Titan M hack on a developer preview could fetch $1.5 million, and a data exfiltration or lock screen bypass could earn $750,000, and so on. Previously, rewards for the most severe Android exploits topped out at $200,000. The big reward bump coincides with the investments Google has poured into securing the Pixel. The Titan M is a Google-designed chip that's physically segregated from the main chipset of the device. Titan M was first introduced in 2018 with the rollout of the Pixel 3. It's also in the recently released Pixel 3a and will also be included in the just released Pixel 4. Security researcher Salim Rashid suspects we're in the midst of an iOS-Android security paradigm shift. To understand the significance of Google's announcement, third-party exploit brokers ZeroDiem will pay hackers $100,000 to weaponize a lock screen bypass on either iOS or Android. Google are offering up to 7.5 times as much.
Wow.
So that's really just smart thinking, really, because it's worth the money to pay to make sure that there isn't going to be an exploit by somebody malicious. Right? You just really want to be, I guess, you want to be enticing enough that nobody's going to pay more for the exploit.
Right.
Than what you were. So they're like,
Yeah, and you may as well use it for good, right?
Right,
so
sure.
So if someone's going to hack the operating system of an Android device, a Pixel device, mm-hmm. may as well give them enough incentive that instead of selling that to the bad guys,
yeah.
they sell it directly to Google so that they can fix it. And you're going to get 7.5 times.
Right. I would do it for good and also for $750,000.
Now, I mean, this sounds self-serving. I mean, not for myself, because I have no clue how to even go down that road. I am not a hacker cracker at all. But this seems like a potential self-serving problem for somebody who goes, I found the exploit.
Yeah.
I found the problem. Google, I realize you're offering $1.5 million, but I can sell it on the black market for $4 million.
But they can't.
They cannot. I think
that's the thing.
Google
they can sell it for $100,000. So Google's saying, we'll give you 7.5 times that.
Exactly. Google is totally outbidding the highest bidder of any...
I understand that. But, I mean, as we keep bumping these prices up, people are going to recognize, ooh, if I find that one exploit, it's going to be a massive payday, and I'm not happy with 1.5. Like, right now, we're seeing 1.5. How long before we're going to see a 3 or a 10 or a $25 million payout for an exploit to be identified? Because, I mean, you have to ask yourself, how much money is Google going to make in putting out these phones? And, you know, is somebody going to look at it and be like, nah, it's not good enough? Like, does this just, you know, breed some selfishness? I don't know.
No, I feel like it's such a good payout. Like, it's such an amazing reward. I think that people will actually up their game trying to find it. It turns into trying to find an Easter egg in some movie that I can't remember right now.
There's Easter eggs in a whole bunch of movies.
Yes, okay. But it will make people try harder to actually find the exploit, making the exploits obvious faster, making it more secure quicker, and then there won't be the option of selling anything to the dark web.
I think that's the intent.
Because it's all secure now.
I for sure.
Right? So nobody's going to be like, can I have $751,000?
If there's anything that we know, like from the whole marketplace of, let's say, ransomware, just using the example, what do we know about hackers due to ransomware? They want a quick payday. Right? So if I'm a hacker, and I'm not, but if I was and I found this exploit and was able to create an exploit for the Pixel, I'm going to want what? a quick payday. So am I going to go to the guys that are giving me $100,000 or am I going to go to the ones that are paying me $750,000? You know what the answer to that is.
Yes.
That is the idea behind what Google is doing, I suspect. And I think that it's a really good motivator for a lot of times what we perceive as a bad guy in the hacking industry, we'll call it, is really just somebody that has fallen upon the wrong channel, okay? If I find this hack, oh, I can sell it for $100,000. So if that's my option, now I've got this opportunity to get $100,000.
Right.
And it's not necessarily that they are a bad person or that they are doing a bad thing. It's just, well, but now it's been weaponized because that group has bought it. So what they're doing is they're also reallocating the brilliant minds of the youth and the hackers and redirecting that toward correcting the situation and saying, okay, we'll give you more money and you're helping to improve the security of the platform.
Right.
So I think it's a whole, it does so much good.
I agree. I think they should also offer them a job, to be honest.
And that could happen.
Yeah, Microsoft used to do that years ago when they first set up their website. It can happen. Multiple layers of security. And they're like, if you break in, you get a job here. Yeah. So I feel like this whole story is something that like would inspire Amy Deedee.
Right.
Like she would just be like, yeah, I'm all over this.
We've got to take a quick break. The Crypto Report and more of this week's top tech stories are coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at the Crypto Report and how things look as of Wednesday, November 27th, 2019, via our website, category5.tv. We've been collecting the data and looking at how things have been transitioning over the past week, and we're seeing that Bitcoin is really losing a fair bit this week, dropping down more than $1,000 US as far as its US dollar equivalent value, down at $7,193 and change. Litecoin is also down. I mean, everything is on the decline this week. It's at $46.87. Ethereum is at $147.81. Monero is down at $51.54, not dropping as much as I would have expected considering the exploit that happened on their website this week. Turtlecoin is holding fairly steady, having dropped just 0.01 ten-thousandths of a cent to 0.23. And we're now looking at the basic attention token as well, and that is down from last week at 21 cents US per coin. Remember that we're not providing any kind of financial advice or investment advice. What we are giving you is just the facts with regards to cryptocurrency and the different coins that we are monitoring here at the studio. The cryptocurrency market never closes, and it's always volatile, so make sure that you only invest what you are able and willing to lose, because it's quite probable that you may never turn an income from it, and that's not our intent. We just want to give you the facts. You can find out more at category5.tv. Click on shows, the category5.tv newsroom, and you'll see the crypto report there, and that will just give you up to the day cryptocurrency data for the coins that we are tracking. I'm going to head back over to the newsroom to you two.
Thank you, Ravi. The official site for the Monero digital coin was hacked to deliver currency stealing malware to users were downloading wallet software.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The supply chain attack came to light last week, Monday, when a site user reported that the cryptographic hash for a command line interface wallet downloaded from the site didn't match the hash listed on the page. Over the next several hours, users discovered that the mismatching hash wasn't the result of an error. Instead, it was an attack designed to infect GetMonero users with malware. Site officials later confirmed that finding. An analysis of the malicious Linux binary found that it added a few new functions to the legitimate one. One of the functions was called after a user opened or created a new wallet. It sent the wallet seed, which is the cryptographic secret key used to access wallet funds, to a third-party server. The malware then sent wallet funds to another server. At least one person participating in a Reddit forum claimed to have lost digital coins after installing the malicious Linux binary. A malicious Windows version of the CLI wallet carried out an almost identical attack sequence. Anyone who downloaded the CLI Monero wallet on Monday, November 18th, 2019, is advised to check the hashes of their binaries. If they don't match the official ones, delete the files and download them again. Do not run compromised binaries for any reason.
I think that's scary. Yeah, and this just goes to show, like, if there is a checksum difference, so if you've got the MD5 or the SHA checksum, and it doesn't match what it's supposed to be, just don't even touch it. Just, like, find out what's going on, because you may think, hey, well, that's weird. It doesn't match. Well, in this particular case, it could have saved, like, the one that I heard of, like, lost $7,000 out of their wallet as far as U.S. currency goes. And it just, you know, you got to be careful. And cryptocurrency is a really, really lucrative target for malicious attackers. And it can happen. And in this case, hey.
You have to be really diligent. I mean, it would be so simple just to assume that everything was going right, except here you go, and the hashes don't match up.
Yeah, well, exactly. Right? And I mean, I know that there's different type of wallets you can use. Like, you can use your cloud-based wallet. You can have a software wallet. You can have a paper wallet that's completely cut off from the world. But I mean, each of them comes with their own risks. I mean, and if you're going to go with a paper wallet because you're like, hey, I don't want to be caught by something like this, if you ever lose your paper, you're toast.
Right.
You know, and it's unfortunate. I mean, as somebody who has mined Monero in the past, you know, it's so easy to just kind of like, oh, here's, you know, another wallet. I'm going to try this
one.
And you're not even paying attention. And then you hit your miner and away you go.
Yeah.
And you walk away and then come back days later to see how you're doing. And in that meantime, you've lost everything because you're not paying attention. And it's so easy to do.
Jeff, I've even heard of people that will set up automatic updates for their wallet software and their mining software. And when you do that, and it's tough because a lot of times, like Scala is a perfect example where the coin has changed so many times that it just gets frustrating because you've got to keep reinstalling the software. So people will tend to set up an automatic updater. And what happens if that update comes down the wire and it's malicious? That's a big problem.
And when it comes to cryptocurrency, there's really no way to get your money back. Once it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone.
Not like it's a regulated financial transaction where, you know, you can buy insurance on it.
Right. It's not insured in any way. Like, and it's scary that this is happening. So I feel like it's early in the life of cryptocurrency. But I know it's not like early days, but I feel like it's scary that now, as it's becoming more common knowledge that cryptocurrency exists and people are kind of getting right on the bandwagon in the malls, there are Bitcoin vendors, and now this is coming out, which makes me think, is this the beginning of a cycle that's going to gain momentum? And I wonder whether or not there is going to be a way then to ensure
That's a valid concern, Sasha.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think what it is it's really just like, this is something that's going to constantly be under attack. So is this going to be a wake-up call for Monero's developers, for example, to solidify their security? Something went wrong. Something allowed this to happen. They'll need to figure out what happened and put a stop to it and protect their users, plain and simple.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, I mean, because you already have the U.S. government looking at regulatory oversight and declaring Libre from Facebook as a securities currency. Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder if this is going to open the door, because of the issues that have gone around the globe with Bitcoin, and now you've got this issue with Monero, if it's going to start pushing regulatory oversight and legislation that says, you know what, cryptocurrencies are in fact a financial transaction. They should be governed by the Securities Commission.
I don't fear that.
No, but it does make me wonder if it's going to get to the point where somebody's going to bring that topic up and say, this needs to happen.
Nah, they're just going to say too bad, so sad. It's not a valid currency. That's how they'll move on.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of, Sasha, we're going to jump into the next story.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was a Facebook rival? Well, there is. And it's founded by the guy who built Wikipedia. Jimmy Wales is expressing excitement that his new social network, WT Social, already has more than 160,000 members. The platform says it will never sell user data and relies on the generosity of individual donors rather than ads. The donations are by way of a modest subscription fee. It is positioning itself as news-focused place and says members will be able to edit misleading headlines. They will see the articles shared by their network in a timeline format, appearing with the newest first rather than algorithms that try to appeal to their interests. The introduction to WT Social says, quote, "We will empower you to make your own choices about what content you are served and to directly edit misleading headlines or flag problem posts. We will foster an environment where bad actors are removed because it is right, not because it suddenly affects our bottom line," end quote. In a recent interview with the Financial Times, Mr. Wales shared his view that the problem with advertising-led services such as Facebook is that the winner is often low-quality content. Social media consultant Zoe Carnes said that she thought the network would have to grow its numbers quickly in order to prove itself to be a viable alternative to the giants. She says, quote, "It's going to need a lot of money plowed into it. People are so used to social media being free. I think businesses might pay for it, but people are so used to having news at their fingertips for free," end quote. WT Social is a separate entity to Wikipedia and can be found at wt.social.
This is an interesting one.
I would say that this is not necessarily something that I'm going to immediately delve into, but I like the idea of paying for the idea that my stuff is never going to be sold. Like, if I
and
could,
you're not going to be, from the sound of it, you're not going to be manipulated
right
by what is making them money.
Exactly. Now, the tricky part about it is a little bit, like, in the back of my mind, I think Wikipedia isn't, like, a super reliable source when you're doing research, but this isn't about research. This is about entertaining news stories.
Social media.
So, social media. Yeah.
See, I wonder, though, like, I get what they're going for, and I get the whole subscription-based thing, whatever that modest fee might be. I don't know if it's something I would
pay
for. I would
pay $7 a month.
But would you pay $14?
No.
I don't think I would, because once they get you hooked, then the fees go up. Because, it's more expensive. We've added new features.
Wow, Jeff is like all over. Like, as soon as you give them $5, it'll be $10 tonight.
I know, but that's the
way that Netflix was. And I mean, and they keep pushing out new content,
but
which is great. I'm not knocking Netflix, but, I mean, you get locked in at $7.99, what was it, 10 years ago, and now you're looking at $14.99. Like, the price has doubled, and you're still getting the same services, just extra content. They're producing more shows. But, I mean, that's Netflix. The whole point with this thing, my concern, though, is the fact that it's user-edited input. Like, we already have a problem now with fake news and manipulated.
This is the opposite of fake news, though.
No, I understand that, but somebody edits it. I mean, you see this now with Wikipedia.
Yes.
I mean, what was it? For 15 years, there was a fake religious god that was on Wikipedia that was deemed to be real, but in fact, it wasn't. Because somebody put something on there that wasn't true, and it never got caught. So what's to say you have a news article where somebody goes, hey, you know what? This is a great article, but I think I'm going to change it just slightly so that it's 98% true, but there's a little bit of false fact in it, and suddenly it continues to grow and it takes off. We already have this problem now. The whole idea of having a social media subscription-based service that people can then edit and alter the news on, I find wrong.
But the alternative is a social media platform where you don't have the opportunity to edit.
Those who have the money control
exactly
the editing. So those who put billions of dollars into it are able to control and edit the
exactly
headlines.
So if you're given the choice of only two things, you're given Facebook or WT Social. Facebook is free, right? But you're going to be manipulated according to what they think you want to see. And WT Social is going to show you news stories that could perhaps be edited by peers.
So the question becomes then, Jeff, would you give WT Social a chance by trying it for a couple of months just to see if your concerns are valid, or are you so dead set against this kind of idea? I mean, I love the idea of Wikipedia. Yeah. I love that social aspect of sharing information.
I do too, and I use Wikipedia often. I would be willing to give WT Social a try, not interested in paying for it.
Yeah.
Like, if they want to get people on board, they need to open up the doors for, say, 3 or 6 months, get people sucked in where it's free. They start building a presence there, because so many people, I think, are going to turn an eye to this and go, I'm not putting out many money for something where there's only 160,000 people.
I have to just say that actually nothing is free.
No, it's true.
I understand that.
Right?
One way or another, you're paying for it.
So I would rather actually pay money out of my pocket than to try and be afraid of where they're making money on my behalf. Like, where are they getting the money from me existing?
Platform. But there's no way that you're going to be able to say that the data and how you use their site still isn't going to be used for somebody's personal gain. They said they're not going to sell it. It doesn't mean the fact that they can't have subsidiary companies that utilize that same information. And I want to point out
now
the fact that both
we're
of
really,
you,
Jeff, we're getting into speculative again.
I understand.
This is all speculation, and I don't like to go there.
Time will tell.
And I actually love the idea that
somebody's got to do something different
is coming up and saying, hey, you're not stuck with the one choice. There is now going to be other choices. And maybe this isn't the only one that's going to exist. This is the first of maybe many.
I agree.
Who knows?
There's always going to be changing options. There's something about it just kind of feels hinky.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And if you appreciate what we do, become a patron at patreon.com/newsroom. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Richman.
I'm Robbie Ferguson.
And I'm Jeff Weston. We'll be right back.